Okay, this is the story of Yankel the Mud Man. A long time ago, in the city of Brod, in the old country, on the other side of the world, was a Yid named Yankel. Well, why did I call him Yankel the Mud Man? Well, because his job was, he was a mud man. A mud man. Yeah, that's what he did. He worked with mud. He woke up early in the morning. He went to daven in the shul in the early, early minyan. Then he goes to his two skinny horses. It does not say their names. And we don't have to give them names because we just have to say two skinny horses. Well, he feeds his horses. Now, what do horses like to have for breakfast? Horses like to have oats. Oats, yes. Or maybe we should call them oats. But really, it's oats. Yankel could not afford to give his two skinny horses oats. Because if he could afford to give them oats, they wouldn't be so skinny, would they? Yankel only could give them hay and not oats. And the two skinny horses ate their hay, and now he puts on them his rickety, broken wagon that was almost falling apart, and now he goes outside of the city where the mud is all over. The ground is full of mud places, and he goes and he works the whole day digging up mud, putting it into his wagon, digging up more mud, putting it into his wagon, mud into the wagon. You can imagine what a job that is. Until he piles. When the wagon was piled with as much mud as the two skinny horses could schlep, Yankel took the mud into the town, into the city, to the brick factory, where they made bricks, and there he sold the mud to the brick factory, and they turned it into bricks. And of course, everybody knows how to make bricks from mud. We don't have to go into that. And this is what Yankel did day in and day out. And after all that hard work, what could he bring back to his family? Some black bread, some beans, some onions. Look at what you boys are eating today for lunch. Chicken. Delicious chicken. Fleischigs in the middle of the week. Do you know that Yankel and his family could hardly get a tiny piece of chicken for Shabbos? If they were in this lunchroom, you know, we're listening to the story about them. What if they were listening to the story about you? There's a time that boys in yeshiva are eating chicken on a Tuesday afternoon. Yankel and his family would say, what? What kind of a story is this? We don't believe it even. Is this true? You know, kids always say, is it true? If we were telling Yankel and his family the story about you eating chicken on a Tuesday, they would say, is it true? People eating chicken on a Tuesday? Well, is it true or not? Yeah, it's true. Chicken and pickles and rice and ketchup and apples. Oh, it's Monday. Thank you. It's not true. It happens to be Monday. I am so, I guess, Marbi Misimcha already in Adar. It's not even Adar yet, but I guess the Simcha has gone to my head so much, I don't even know what day it is. It's so much Simcha and Adar, it's Ad Lo Yoda. You don't even know yet. So I'm a Kayim Erev Rosh Chodesh Ad Lo Yoda. I don't even know what day it is. That's how much Simcha I am today. Shh. Maybe I'm happy because it got quiet for a while. After all that work, Yankel and his wife and the Kinilach did not have enough money to get the things they needed. So it was a very difficult life. But Yankel would not get sad and upset and depressed. He would always say that Eivishter vet helfen, Hashem will help, things will get better. But it was very difficult. The lunchroom is excellent. Now I see why we get to this part of the story on this day. It's a cold, rainy day outside. And this part of the story is where Yankel goes out on a cold, rainy day. Very good. Hashem has helped. We have not only the story, but even the whole weather outside is according to the story. So we can really live in the story. Okay. Yankel goes out with his two skinny horses in the wagon on a cold, rainy day, just like today, pouring rain. And he piles the wet mud onto the wagon. And now he's going back to the town. All of a sudden, as Yankel is going towards the town on the road, he notices by the side of the road is a man who is stuck in the mud. This man is standing in a pool of mud. The mud is up to his waist. He must have been walking and all of a sudden fell into this big pool of mud. And he's stuck, he can't get out. And it's a yid. And Yankel stops his wagon. He jumps out of the wagon, he jumps into the mud, and he helps the yid out of the mud. And the yid says, thank you so much. I didn't know how I would get out. And Yankel says, where are you going? I'm on my way to the town of Brod. Oh, that's where I'm going. That's where I live. Can you give me a ride in your wagon? And Yankel says, well, I don't know if I can give you a ride because I have two skinny horses and they can hardly pull the wagon and it's full of mud. That's how I make my living. I sell mud to the brick factory and it's so heavy the horses can hardly pull it and it's a rainy day and the road is muddy. If I put you in my wagon, I don't think they'll be able to pull it at all. I don't know what to do. I want to give you a ride, but I wouldn't get the wagon in the mud to the brick factory, and I wouldn't get money. The yid says, I tell you what. How much money do you get for your whole wagon of mud? So let's say he says, 2 rubles or whatever it is. 2 rubles. That's probably too much. 2 rubles is a lot of money. 1 ruble. Yeah, 1 ruble for the whole wagon of mud? I'll tell you what. I'll give you 2 rubles if you dump all the mud out, and then you'll be able to give me a ride, and then you wouldn't lose money. You'll get more money because you gave me a ride. And that way I'll get to the town because I don't think I can make it if I walk. And Yankel said, okay, I'll do that. And Yankel now dumps all of the mud out of the wagon, and now the wagon is much lighter. The yid gets into the wagon next to Yankel, and they're driving towards the town. And as they're driving, Yankel asks the yid, where are you from? I come from a place called Sasif. Sasif? Ooh, there's a big tzaddik who lives in Sasif. Moshe Leib of Sasev, did you ever see him? The yid says, well, I really didn't see him, but I saw his tefillin. What? You live in Sasev, and you never saw the tzaddik Reb Moshe Leib, but you only saw his tefillin? How could that be? How could you not see the tzaddik, but you see his tefillin? And the yid says, well, I'll tell you, when I put on my tefillin, I have a little mirror. And I see in the mirror if the tefillin is straight. But when I look in the tefillin mirror, I just look at my tefillin. I don't really look at myself. Yankel thinks to himself, wait a minute. What's he saying? What's your name? My name is Moshe Leib. Oh, Yankel figured it out. Are you Reb Moshe Leib of Sasef? Yes. This was Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev, the big tzaddik. Of course, he didn't look at himself. He doesn't look at himself in the mirror. He looks at his tefillin. So he didn't see himself. He saw his tefillin. A tzaddik is going to stand there in the mirror, look at himself? No. Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev is riding in the wagon with Yankel the mud man. And Yankel is very excited. You mean I get to give the great tzaddik, Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev, a ride to the town? Oh, I'm so excited. Where do you want to go? And he told Yankel where to go. Finally, to get there, and Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev is reaching in his pocket to take out the money. Do you think Yankel the mudman wants to accept money from a tzaddik that he was able to give a tzaddik a ride? You think so?
No.
Nope. I wouldn't accept money from you to give you a ride. It's my big pleasure. It's a big schus that I should be able to give you a ride. Oh no, I'm not accepting any money from you. And Kinalach, Reb Moshe Leib went out of the wagon, and now Yankel goes home to his wife and family after this whole day. And he comes in soaked with rain and mud, and he's late because, you know, it had taken time to do all of this. And his wife says, Yankel, you're late today. Probably you took extra mud and you got extra money. Did you bring home extra money? Well, not exactly extra money. Oh, you brought home the regular money? Well, not exactly the regular money. Well, how much money did you bring home? Well, not exactly any money. What? Didn't you go to the brick factory? No. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you get mud in your wagon? Yes. So wait a minute. If you get mud, don't you go to the brick factory? Well, no, I had mud, but then I dumped out the mud. What do you mean? You work a whole day and you dump out the mud and you don't come home with money? Oh, this is what happened. I found a tzaddik stuck on the road and I gave him a ride. I had to dump out the mud to be able to put him in the wagon because the two skinny horses wouldn't be able to pull the wagon. I had to dump out the mud in order to give the tzaddik a ride. Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev, I gave him a ride and I took him into the brud. Well, how much did he pay you for it? Oh, I wasn't going to accept any money, so I didn't want to take money from him. She says, a whole day you're working and no money? Did you at least ask the tzaddik for a bracha? After all, we need a bracha. Our situation is just so difficult. We need a bracha to have money and things we need. No, I didn't ask him either for a bracha. She says, look, why don't you go find him and ask him at least for a bracha? You're not asking him for money. You're asking for a bracha. Shh. And Kinalach, Yankel the Mudman thinks about what his wife says, and she's right. Let him at least go ask for a bracha. So Kinalach, Yankel said, yes, his wife is right. Let him go and ask a bracha from Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev. Now listen to what happened. And so Yankel the Mudman goes to the place that he took Reb Moshe Leib of Sasev. And he goes over there, and Baruch Hashem, Reb Moshe Leib was there. And he sees Yankel the Mudman coming. Yes, Yankel, it's good to see you. And Kinalach, Yankel says, Reb Moshe Leib, I didn't really want to come for this, but my wife really wants me to come, and she's right, so I'm just going to ask you. But please, you understand, I don't really want to accept it because I gave you the ride into to the town. But the fact is that my wife asks that you should give us, please, a bracha for Parnassa. our family needs more money for my wife and the Kindlelach. So do you mind, just so that, you know, my wife will be happy, could you please give us a bracha that Hashem should help us to have more parnasa, more money for our family?" And Kindlelach, Rav Moshe Leib, asks Yankel the Mudman a very interesting question. He says, Yankel, I'll be happy to give you a bracha. But first of all, I have to know, what do you have in your house? Now, why is he asking, what do you have in your house? This is probably why. And I'm going to explain this because it's very interesting. Who remembers a story that I told? Who remembers a story in the time of Eliyahu Navi? Was a king named Ahav and his wife Izebel, big Rishoyim. And Eliyahu HaNavi was in that time. And who remembers Sadiqim that were being chased and hunted down by Ahav and his wife, were hiding in a cave? And who remembers that a tzaddik named Ovadia and his wife were taking care of them in the cave, feeding them and giving them candles and taking care of them? And it costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars a day, or whatever money they had, because they were feeding many, many tzaddikim in the cave for a long time. And they had to borrow the money. And who remembers they borrow the money from Ahab's son? He probably didn't know why he was lending the money. All he wanted to do was lend the money and get back even more money. And actually, he was feeding the tzaddikim that his father and mother were chasing and hunting down. Well, who remembers that Ovadia passed away and his wife now had to pay back the money that they had borrowed from the son of Ahav and Izebel? And she couldn't pay back the money because there was so much money. And Ahav's son said to her, "If you don't pay back the money, I'm going to take away your two sons and they'll be my slaves. And I'll never give them back. So pay me the money." And who remembers that she went to the tzaddik Elisha, because Eliyahu Navi had already passed away, and she said, "I need money to pay, or else the son of Ahav will take my two sons away." And he asked her, "What do you have in your house?" The same question that Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov is asking Yankel the Mudman, because he wants to find something the bracha should come through. In other words, he wants to give a bracha, but it has to go through something. Do you know what she had in her house? The only thing she had in her house, you remember what that was?
A tchotchke.
A what?
Tchotchke.
Chas v'shalom. What does she have in her house?
Oil.
She had a little bit of oil. Do you remember what she did? She took that oil. They took all kinds of different kalim, buckets and barrels and even broken things, and they closed the door that nobody could see, and she kept pouring the oil from that little glass thing of oil, that little jar, and it kept pouring and pouring until so much oil came out, it filled up all the different vessels in the house. In other words, the bracha came through that little bit of oil. Now, Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov is saying to Yankel the Mudman, "What do you have in your house that the bracha could come through?" Well, Yankel started to think, "I don't have anything in my house. The only thing I really own that's worth anything are two skinny horses that I use for my work. The skinny horses that pulled the wagon to the town." I, Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov, smiled. "So that will be it. One horse will be for Purim, And the other horse will be for Pesach. And that's the bracha that he gave. One horse will be for Purim, and the other horse for Pesach. And kenalach, that was the end of the bracha. And Reb Moshe Leib Sasov said goodbye to Yankel the Mud Man, and Yankel now is to go home. He thinks to himself, wait a minute, that was the bracha? Okay, that was the bracha. And he comes home now to his house, and his wife says, oh, Yankel, you're home. Did Reb Moshe Leib give a bracha to us? Yes, he did. He gave a bracha. He gave us a bracha for money, for parnasa? Well, what did he say? Well, he asked what we have in our house, and I told him we have two skinny horses. So he said, one horse will be for Purim, and the other horse will be for Pesach, and that's the bracha. What? Wait a minute, so I don't understand. What's the bracha over here? We already have two horses. And Purim is coming pretty soon, and Pesach is coming pretty soon. So what's the bracha? Yankel says, I don't know, but that was the bracha. Well, kenalach, this is what happens. Shortly before Purim, one of the skinny horses passed away. I would have said died, but we learned today in Parshas Noach, we have to go out of our way to talk nice and use nicer words, right? So instead of saying died, I'll say the horse passed away. Well, what are you going to do with a dead horse? Well, I shouldn't say dead horse. What are you going to do with a horse that passed away, that's not living? We just learned it mamish right now, so I have to be very careful in my words. He took it to the place they take horses that passed away, and they use those horses for different things. Whatever they do, they get their skins and use them for something. And so Yankel got enough money to buy all the things they needed for Purim. And they figured out that must have been the bracha for that horse for Purim. They got money to be able to make Purim. Well, now, if he had two skinny horses and one of them passed away, how many horses are left to go to work?
One.
One horse. So after Purim, Yankel is going to work with one skinny horse. Now, how much mud with the two skinny horses pulling in the wagon? Well, it was pretty difficult for them to pull the wagon. Can he get as much from one skinny horse?
Two.
Do you think he'll get enough mud in his wagon if it's pulled by one skinny horse?
No.
No. Well, he did the best he could, and the one skinny horse went to work, pulled the mud, went to the brick factory, but guess what happened to that horse before Pesach? Can you guess?
It died.
Oh, don't say died. We just learned today we have to go out of our way to speak nice.
Passed away.
The horsey passed away. That horse passed away before Pesach. How many horses are left?
None.
No horses. Well, he took that horse to the place they take deceased horses. Horses that passed away. And he got some money for the horse skin and all the other things they do with a horse. But I'm not going to talk about that while you're eating your cottage cheese and noodles and tomatoes and ketchup and all the peanut butter and stuff. At lunchtime, we're not going to talk about what happens to horses after they passed away when they're taken to that place. But Yankel the Mud Man got enough money that they should be able to make Pesach, which was good. But now, after Pesach, and after the money was gone, Yankel wants to go to work. He goes to his broken-down wagon. Are there any skinny horses to pull the broken-down wagon?
No.
Oh, no. How is he going to get? How is he going to schlep the mud? How will he make a living now? It seems that the bracha has ended. What should he do? Well, his wife said, Yankel, this is what you should do. What do you think he should do?
Go get a bracha.
Go back to Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov. Maybe he'll give you another bracha. Maybe even a better bracha. I mean, The first bracha, I guess that was a bracha, but you know, two dead skinny horses? Oh, I shouldn't say dead. Two skinny horses passing away? Not alive. Two non-living skinny horses. Boy, are they skinny now. They're not even in the world anymore. Okay, tomorrow, Bezus Hashem will continue. It was very quiet. The more horses that passed away, the quieter it got. Tomorrow we'll continue, Mirtz Hashem. What?
I sent them to the glue factory.
Glue? Glue? I didn't talk about glue. Let's listen now to what happened. Yankel, the mud man, or the former mud man, because he's not a mud man anymore, because he can't schlep the mud. So we'll call him Yankel. He goes to Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov. And he says, Reb Moshe Leib, could I please have another bracha? I thank you for the brachas you gave me before, the horse for Purim and the horse for Pesach. And now, unfortunately, well, or fortunately, whatever, now I think I need another bracha from my family because there's no more horses left. And it doesn't seem that there's too much bracha left either because we spent all the money we got for the horses. And Reb Moshe Leib thinks for a while and he says to Yankel, Yankel, this is what you should do. Take a bag, go out in the street, and beg. Become a beggar. That's what you should do. And with Hashem's help, you'll be a beggar, but then you will be an innkeeper, a hotel man. And Kinalach, that was all that Reb Moshe Leib said, that Yankel should become a beggar, but he should also become a hotel man. Well, Kinalach, Yankel goes back to his wife. What was the bracha that Reb Moshe Leib of Sasov gave you? Well, he said I should take a bag and go out in the street and become a beggar. What? That's a bracha from a tzaddik? You should become a beggar? You need a bracha from a tzaddik to become a beggar? I don't understand. First it's a horse that dies for Purim. And then it's a horse, of course we said passes away. Our other horse passes away for Pesach. Okay, we get a little money, but now you have no way to make a living as a mudman. And the money is gone. And now the tzaddik says you should go out in the street and become a beggar? You could have figured that out for yourself. Just go out and become a beggar. Well, says Yankel, he did say at the end, I'll become a hotel man, an innkeeper. A hotel man? Well, that sounds pretty good. But how will you be a hotel man if you're a beggar? I don't know, but that's what he said. Well, Kinalach, they said, if those are the words of a tzaddik, that's what has to be done, even if we don't understand. The next morning, Yankel woke up early, and he davened in the shul. And then he got a bag. He says, I hope I can put good stuff in this bag to bring home to my family, food or money. And he went out of his house. But he was embarrassed. He says, how can I go out in the streets in Brod, where I live, and see people that I know, and all of a sudden, I'm a beggar? I'll be so embarrassed. I'll be ashamed. Yankel decided he's going to walk to the next town where people don't know him, and he'll beg over there. And that's what he did. He went in the street. Could I please have a little money or maybe some food for my family? Putting out his hand, he gets a little food, puts it into the bag, gets a little money, puts it into his pocket. Sometimes people give him things, puts it into the bag, And he goes around and begs. And at the end of the day, he goes back to his family. How did he feel? He felt not good enough. He felt bad enough when he used to have a wagon with mud and going to the brick factory and working so hard and then coming home with a few onions and bread. But now he has to go begging and he comes back with a bag of stuff that he had to get through begging. Yankel didn't feel so good. But this is what he has to do. Reb Moshe Leib of Sasef told him to become a beggar.